Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. I sit down with the World Series champ, three times World Series champ, Curt Schilling. We talk about kneeling in sports and so much more. You guys are going to love this episode. Please consider supporting our program at charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Big episode in store. Curt Schilling is here. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
So sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline.ag. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. And as sports start to return, BetOnline has sat down with Eddie George from the NFL, Robert Horry, seven times NBA champ, and Harold Reynolds from Major League Baseball to get their opinions on what it'll be like playing without fans and what they have called the fandemic. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this very special episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. I feel like I'm watching my childhood. Formerly a huge baseball fan. I don't watch baseball anymore because they...
Me too.
Well,
all of those.
So we're just getting started right off the bat. Curt Schilling is here. You don't watch baseball. I don't watch baseball because they kneel during the national anthem. You're World Series champion twice. Is that right? Three. I didn't catch the third.
Arizona. Were you? 2001.
Okay.
Randy Johnson.
The big unit.
Yep.
Where he killed the bird.
In Boston, 04 and 07.
That's right. You won in 07. Yeah. That was
along for the ride.
Lesser remembered.
Yeah.
Bloody sock. You ever heard that one before?
Sometimes.
When you wear sandals, do people say, where's your bloody sock?
It's honestly one of the ways I can detect conservative and liberal. Because liberals to this day say bloody sock was fake.
Oh, come on.
That's the first thing they go with. It's liberals and disgruntled Yankee fans will say, you know, oh, fake sock. And I say, well, the white gold in the ring was real, so I really don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, it was obviously real blood. And it just so happened the color of your sock happened to be red. I think it was actually bloodier than people realize or recognize. And for all, we have a lot of 14 and 15-year-old listeners that have no idea what we're talking about. Like, they weren't even alive yet. Never before in the history of baseball had a team overcome a 3-0 ALCS deficit. Any postseason, 3-0. I remember watching the Yankees, I think, won 72-2 in game three.
Yeah, night before, yep.
Right? Yeah. It was something ridiculous,
They missed an extra point late in the game, but it was something like that.
It was insane.
Yeah.
And so then you guys worked your way back.
That was to put us down 3-0, by the way.
That's right, down 3-0, and that was at Yankee Stadium.
No, that was at our place.
Was it really?
Because then Ortiz hit the home run the next night
for
the first win.
Yes.
And we acted like we had tied the series.
And it barely went out, right?
It was comfortable, but the thing was, all of us felt like if we win tonight, everything changes. And we won and everything changed.
And then it was legendary. Johnny Damon.
Well, so Ortiz hits a home run, down 3-1. The next night, he gets another extra inning, broken bat single off Loaiza, down 3-2. Game six, I pitched in New York.
Yep.
We tied at 3. And now...
Game seven was busters, though.
You guys went nuts. Yeah, it was ridiculous. We throttled them early, and it was the greatest... That silence in Yankee Stadium was so enjoyable. But I will say this. One very cool after effect of that was, since I've retired, the largest group of people that have come out and reached out to me and said, I love you now, are Yankee fans.
Really?
They were like, I hated you as a player, but I love what you stand for. I love your beliefs. And by a magnitude of, I can't even measure.
Really?
Which is awesome.
Because of politics or just?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's awesome.
Like, yeah, that's very awesome.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Johnny Damon played for the Red Sox. I always felt that he just kind of created like sports treason, basically.
Oh, yeah, committed. No, he did. No, not kind of.
Okay, so talk about that.
Absolutely.
Because he had to shave the beard and shave the hair.
It would be almost like deciding to vote for Biden today if you were voting for Trump yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You play for the Red Sox and you go play for the Yankees.
That's how the Red Sox fans see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no going back.
No. They write you off when you go to New York.
So you won an 01, you won an 04, won an 07. One of the most amazing. Are you Hall of Fame yet?
No.
Do you think it's going to happen?
No.
Because of politics or just?
Yes.
Okay. Well, talk about that.
Well, so, and they've said it. So they've said it out loud that the things I posted on Twitter and whatnot.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. No, the character clause. Some of the most character lacking human beings I've ever met in my life are judging my character.
Isn't Mark McGwire in the Hall of Fame?
No. No, and never will. But there are. So, long story short, when I was in Philadelphia, there was a beat writer there. He's in the Hall of Fame. He is a convicted pedophile. Like, and those same people that put him in the Hall of Fame are telling me I have character flaws. None of which they can actually point out, other than I posted a picture of a t-shirt that said, "Rope tree journalist, some assembly required." You know, I guess that offended them, and I probably shouldn't have done that. But the point is, last year I got 70%. And generally, no one's ever not gotten in after getting 70%, because yeah. 75 is the threshold. But there's an election in November.
That's right.
And he's going to win. And I'm not going to be quiet about it. I've never, ever, you know, my dad raised me. I was lucky. I had an amazing father.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up here in Arizona.
Really?
Yes, Paradise Valley.
No
I was
way.
Born in Alaska. I grew up in Arizona. But my dad told me, don't ever live your life to impress people you don't know.
Yeah.
And so it made baseball easier than it might have otherwise been. But I've never said or done it. So I'm a racist and a bigot and a homophobe and all those other things. I have a son who's in the LGBTQ spectrum, which is, I could care less.
Right.
He actually started the club in high school for them. Because he's on the Asperger's, he's on the spectrum, autism spectrum, and he is the most loving, caring, inclusive. He hates to see people turned away. So he created this club, and, you know, he's an amazing young man. But when the North Carolina bathroom law was going up, I posted it. I commented on a tweet, on a picture, and I said, basically, if we're at a point in time we need the government to tell us where we can and can't pee, there's a lot bigger issues.
Yeah, no kidding. And they consider that to be unspeakable.
Well, that was I'm transphobic now because I said that.
Sure. Yeah. Like I've been called all these names.
Well,
too.
But yeah. And I, you know, I've seen a ton of your stuff, and it's like you and Ben said the same thing, and Michael Knowles. Listen, I don't care what you call yourself.
Yeah.
I don't. I really don't. But I don't have to do what you tell me to do.
Why do you have to? Why do you have to force me
right.
what to call you?
And
be persuasive.
You know what? It's what I'm starting to realize is we don't care as much about who they sleep with as they want us to.
That's right. Well, you know, what's really interesting about it is, you know, politics doesn't obsess our life as much. And I guarantee you there's somebody in some very small basement in New York right now that is just screaming at their ceiling that somebody in Alabama doesn't agree with them on transgenderism. Like, I can't believe it.
Well, the KKK would be literally dead if the left wouldn't continue to give them a voice. We marginalize them, you know? And so this whole BLM thing, like, my response is, when didn't Black Lives Matter?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in 1861, they mattered, right? When the first shots of the Civil War were fired. Post-Civil War, we had the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which
were all Republican passed, yeah.
Right. We all gave, and there was not a Republican slave owner on the continent when the war started. But we passed, and so I always ask liberals, okay, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, put us all on a level playing field. Men, women, whites, blacks, browns, everybody. Why did we have to have a civil rights march in 1964? They already had those rights. Why did we have to have a march for them? Because the Democrats wouldn't accept the results of the Civil War.
That's right.
And the KKK was founded and oppression, and then you had the New Deal, and hey, I don't have to work, and I can get money. Sweet.
Yeah.
So
you grew up a conservative?
Yes. Not out. I was interested in it, but it wasn't something that I like now. So my mom taught me how to speed read. All right, I went to junior college for 1 year. So anytime some idiot from Harvard tries to call me dumb, they say, "Oh, 1 year of junior college." I'll stand on the stage with anybody. It was one of the reasons why I wanted to run in Mass, because I wanted to get into a debate with Elizabeth Warren.
Yes,
because some of the dumbest people I've ever met are Harvard graduates.
Yes, and they have no wisdom.
No. And so, but my mom taught me how to speed read. So I read like a book a night.
Wow.
I'm consumed. So I'm ADHD and ADD and all the things that athletes are. Anytime I find a subject I'm interested in, I consume it. Because I'm all right being less than the smartest guy in a room when I walk in, but I want to be a lot smarter when I walk out. So like reading, you know, Frederick Douglass and Booker Washington and all of those things, you know, you get perspective. I don't know what it's like to be a slave. I don't know what it's like to be black. But I do understand the stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always tell people that when I see the NBA and the refs kneeling all on the court talking about oppression, and I think about Booker T. Washington, and I think about Frederick Douglass and how those two men went through what they went through, which was the definition of oppression and abuse, and came out the other side and didn't hate white people.
Or the country.
No.
Yeah.
No, they didn't hate. And if anybody ever was given a pass to hate us, feel free. You deserve to.
So they're kneeling in baseball.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
I'm watching the pitch. I won't watch it. I don't need it.
Why don't you watch it?
I won't, because I don't believe, first of all, BLM was founded on a lie. That's my biggest beef. Colin Kaepernick knelt for a lie. Mm-hmm. And if the book, War on Cops, Heather McDonald, cites statistics that you know, 75 most violent counties in this country, 62% of the violent crimes are committed by blacks, which make up only 13% of that population.
Right. Yes.
So you're going to have more police interaction with people in crime-ridden areas. Doesn't excuse police violence. See, here's the thing. When we get into these debates with liberals, we have to caveat everything. I'm done caveating. Of course police violence is bad. A bad cop is the worst possible thing we can have. Because like a fake rate, like a Jussie Smollett, one gets all the coverage.
Yes.
And the George Floyd death, tragic. But this wasn't a guy coming out of the parish and church services. This was a guy who had a record. Doesn't make it okay. I don't know what happened before that. In fact, I don't think anybody outside of what happened knows. But we've had time and time and time again with the YouTube videos of from minute 2 to minute 10. We didn't see minute 1. And I am at a point now, I grew up in a military family. I grew up very lower middle class. My dad was Army. He was a sheriff after that. I have so many police officers that are friends. I'm crushed by the fact that we had a black president for 8 years who could have done more good for us than anyone ever alive. And he went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He turned his back on law enforcement. And it's continued.
Yes.
He caused more racial hatred in this country than anybody in my lifetime.
Yes.
And he had the opportunity. We're a racist country that had a black president for 8 years. How do you figure that out? How does that work? And then he uses this funeral the other day to make a stump speech.
Yeah, political eulogy.
What a horrible human being.
Yes.
And that just sucks.
So baseball, they're kneeling. I don't watch it because of that. And
I'm not.
What's really too bad is baseball was always the ultimate American sport.
Think about it. 9/11. After 9/11.
That's right.
We had
during World War II, they kept baseball going.
And players went over and came back. I mean, but it's always been, you know, they call it America's pastime. And you want to go TV ratings, it's the NFL. But baseball and America are linked for over a century. And baseball is a touch point for everything that's ever happened significant in this nation. Rick Monday taking the flag out of center field in 1970.
Chicago White Sox,
yeah.
Right? You know, Comiskey Field.
Yep. And so there's touch points for baseball in this country. And it's almost like if you look at the timeline of the nation, on the bottom you can have some sort of, you know, civil unrest. And on the top you can put a baseball moment that people remember it by.
That's very interesting.
You know, and football is not that way.
No, not always. Yes.
No, none of the other sports are really. But here's the thing. I've been talking to people about this. And facts can't be racist, right? I mean, facts are facts. Just because you dislike the fact doesn't make it not a fact.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the NFL and the NBA, they're both sports are 80%+ black players.
NFL and NBA.
Yeah,
yes, that's correct.
Predominantly.
Yeah, diversity black is not the strength of the NFL.
Right, right. Baseball, by far and in a way, is the most diverse sport on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey is a white sport. I mean, black men are making inroads, and there's some legendary black players, but it's not a sport that's gotten to the inner city for a lot of reasons. Ice rink, ice time, money, whatever. But look at the messages the leagues are sending as it pertains to the racial makeup of the leagues. And it's clear that black athletes think white people are the cause of all of their problems.
But here's what I don't get, Kurt, and I tweeted this out the other day and it went ridiculously viral. What problem does LeBron James have?
Right. No.
I mean, he has five more jets than I have.
He has.
I don't have any.
A
jets.
Window. You don't have one yet?
No, not yet.
All right. Well, that's apparently.
You know what I should do? I should learn to hate America like Kaepernick, and I can
right. Or
$50 million in 3 years.
Or hook up with one of the 30,000 people being investigated in Germany for the human trafficking pedophilia ring, because the Epstein thing, clearly you can get a black jet that way. I mean, my gosh. But it's troubling when, you know, and like I said, BLM came off of Colin Kaepernick's kneel, right? I mean, I think we can all point to that being the seminal moment. And the kneel was for a lie. He's saying there's a disproportionate level of violence to young black men from law enforcement. No, there isn't.
That's right.
There isn't. But there's a disproportional amount of media coverage of violence towards black men by police
officers.
That's
correct. So the programming and the simulation plays into it.
My problem is when I watch you guys speak and I listen to you guys, and it's so enjoyable for me to hear, because it's facts versus feelings.
That's
and
right.
It always will be. And I listen to Candace speak, and I listen to is it Rob Smith?
Yeah, he's here.
I listen to him speak, and I listen to one of my dearest friends in the world, Colonel West.
Yeah.
And by the way, let me just say to those family members in the Kane family, what a tragedy losing him was.
Herman was amazing.
Oh, what an amazing. I had him on my show a couple of times. I love talking to him. And you and I kind of share a same tragedy as well, because I lost somebody very close to me, a mentor this week.
Yeah.
And I know you did as well. And people, and I was reading your commentary about his passing, and it was literally what I had told people about Mike McQuaid, who lives here in Phoenix. I grew up, he was one of my coaches after my dad died when I was 21. Huge influence in my life. And, you know, those are people that I wouldn't be where I am or have done what I did without those people.
That's
and
right.
And so, even more, I'm even more resolute about standing up for what I believe in, because I don't want the Herman Cains of the world to disappear. You know, the left is trying to make you, they think if you throw the statue away, people will forget about it. Well, in some sense, they're starting to be right, right? I mean, think about all the Civil War statues that are coming down, right? The Civil War is a insanely high and insanely low moment for this nation. We're the only country to do it, right? I mean, 750,000 men were killed. And half of those were Union soldiers who were fighting for the freedom of black men. And we do that. And now they say, and we all know, see, that's the thing. We all know what the statues were up there for. They were to dedicate to the military prowess or whatever. But if you like them, you're racist. So they come down. Now, there's less time and less moments for that conversation to happen.
Yeah.
Less time for...
That kind of dialogue's not supposed to exist.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Right.
So you see what's happening in sports now. You make a great point. Baseball has always been Jackie Robinson bringing the color barrier, World War II. It's always kind of developed with our history, right? And now do you think the way that baseball is reacting is a reflection of how bad things actually have gotten
absolutely.
In our country?
We had an incident, and this is another reason I guess I'm a racist to liberals. 4 or 5 years ago, Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles was in Boston. And Boston kicked their butt that night, and Adam went 0-for-4. And after the game, he's like, yeah, I had a fan call me the N-word in center field. And so that's...
What year was this?
This was not even four or five years ago,
yeah.
Right? So that's the story the next day. And then the Boston's a racist city, most racist city. And then you have other black players, you know, chiming on. And I came out and said, he lied. And I was... And I said, here's how I know he lied. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Because it does. It just does. We have some sick, disgusting human beings in this world. But in the day and age of today, social media, there's no chance that that happened in a sold-out Fenway Park and nobody heard it.
And no one said it and no one recorded it?
No. And so Mike Lupica, a New York writer, writer, wrote an article, interviewed a young man who said, yeah, I heard it. They found out the young man wasn't even he was sitting behind home plate. Mike didn't retract the article when he was told that the kid lied. He just left it. And so I got vilified. And I said, listen, I'm not telling you it doesn't happen. I'm telling you that didn't happen. But you say one time, now it all comes, oh, Boston's the most racist city in the world. 2 days ago, one of the nicest women I've ever met in my life, I worked at the ESPN, Claire Smith. She came out and said, she's been doing this. She's in the Hall of Fame. You know, she came out and said, I've been doing this for 30 years and I've never met a black player that like playing in Boston. And I just started running out name after name after name.
How about David Ortiz? Manny Ramirez?
Mookie Betts just wrote a big letter to the fans of Boston about how much he loved playing. But stuff like that doesn't get challenged. So it gets etched in stone to the left. Well, Claire wrote this article. Okay, so what? It doesn't mean anything. It's her opinion. But I know it's a lie. And that we're in a really, really dangerous point.
Where do you see this going?
I'm not a big conspiracy guy, whatever. I don't see anything to stem the tide. He's going to win by a landslide. Short of voter fraud or some crap, he's going to win by a landslide. They're going to claim whatever. The day after he wins, you tell me who out there is in place to make this thing settle down. It's going to get worse. And what's the next step, right? Portland, Chicago, Detroit. Defunding police, and oh my God, the crime rates went up. Shocking. We're having that argument. Take money away from the police, and we'll get social service workers to handle domestic disputes. So that'll go well. I mean, we're having arguments that make no sense.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go to Germany this week. I think I'd like to go over. I'm going to wait a week till their election so I can go over there and vote. Like, how are we having a debate about whether or not you need to be a citizen in this country to vote?
That's right.
But they see, that's my problem is that it's almost like they push us onto their playing field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they corral the conversation. Let's talk about how racist it is to ask for ID. Well, the whole time what the left is saying is blacks and Latinos, you're too lazy and stupid to get an ID. So, but we think it's racist that they want you to. So, and the Candace Owens of the world. There are far more black men and women in support of President Trump now than there were 4 years ago.
Yes.
And wasn't that always the thing? They said if 8% of the black vote ever switched, we would never, ever have a Democratic
president. It's all over.
Yeah.
So you see it happening.
Oh, absolutely. Look at the number. You tell me, before this whole Wuhan China virus, which again makes me racist, happened, look at where we were. And you've said it over and over again. Highest black unemployment. Yep. 72% of the new jobs in the economy were for women. I mean, women and there's no, and I always say this, we're the kindest, the most open, the most diverse, the most loving, caring, hospitable, charitable.
Benevolent.
You can continue to go in the world. There is no place it is better in the world to be black, Latino, Asian, female, anywhere than the United States. And it's not even a close second. But if you turn on the news, you wouldn't know it. And even Fox is going down that road. I mean, how Juan is still even on the air makes me sick to my stomach. And Chris Wallace is a joke.
Do you think so let's say president gets reelected. The unrest doesn't stop.
It's going to elevate. It's not going to get.
So then what?
I mean,
game it out. I mean,
well, you start. That's what I'm saying. If you game it out, there's a potential civil war in play at some point. And in that sense, my first question is, and I have a lot of friends. I'm with the USO. I've done tour. Military is like my life. I love these people, and I've talked to them, and I have a lot of police officer friends, and I've said that. I said, listen, when the rubber meets the road, and your mayor asks you to do something you know is unconstitutional, what are you going to do? And I've tried to tell all the law enforcement in first round, I said, I got your back. If you tell me to go down to Boston City Hall and protest on behalf of you, I'm there. I just need to know that you're going to hold each other accountable. So get rid of the bad cops. You guys, they have to see what destruction that causes. But the world is not black and white, right? I mean, in a sense, it to the left it is.
Mm-hmm.
The world is very black and white. But I don't know if you saw the video, and it was actually in Arizona. A couple years back, one of the senior leaders of BLM went on a routine. The police armed him and put him in four different situations to confront a potential criminal. In all four cases, he shot the suspect.
And this was a theoretical exercise.
Right. The exercise they go through.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's that you meet a guy at a vehicle, and he goes to get his whatever. And he comes out with a gun, and you shoot him. Like, all four incidents ended up with this guy. And he said afterwards, I never knew. I never knew. Yeah. And that's the thing. You try to hold people to account who may have to make split-second decisions.
Like the Ahmaud Arbery case.
Yes.
And not Ahmaud Arbery. I'm sorry. The Wendy's one. Not Ahmaud Arbery.
Right. No,
I'm
the
sorry.
Right.
Rayshard. Was it Rayshard Brooks? I think it was. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
And you, it's first of all, it's hard to even put yourself in that position mentally if you're not there.
Adrenaline is pumping.
Right,
I mean,
right,
not,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And so the guy's wrestling you, which is immediately a potential murder because he just takes your gun and he ends up taking their taser, and which is lethal if you put somebody down, you just take their gun and shoot them. And I don't care that he was shot in the back. He was shot in the back because he was running and still shooting. I keep reversing all this stuff and I go back to the very simple, obey the effing law.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you don't get beat. And then people say, well, we're still hunted. Well, you know what? No, you're not. But I understand.
Well, you're being hunted by other blacks.
Why you would think you are.
Yeah.
Right? Because the media will tell you.
I saw this video, Kurt, and you probably saw it on Twitter. And the fact that the media hasn't showed this, the activist media, is incredible. And it was in Chicago, I think. Black mother with two of her other family members. She has a baby in her arms. And it's like a Nest camera or a surveillance camera of the street. I've never seen a video like this before. As vivid detail.
Yeah.
High quality. A car starts driving and they just start shooting out the window at the mother and the baby and all this. Car keeps going and stops. The two gangbangers get out, all black on black crime, and just keep shooting at the mother. Relentlessly. And then the mother gets shot, goes behind the car. Baby is there, thank God, untouched. The next person who comes out after the car drives away doesn't even care about the woman or the baby. He goes and gets in his car to go avenge the death. And eventually, a minute later, someone comes and goes.
Right up there with the video a couple months ago. A man and the girl walking in New York when the car pulled up and they just reached out and shot the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
But I mean, that's who's being gunned down
right,
in the streets.
No, what is it? 90? You have a 94% chance, more chance of being shot by a black man than you do a police officer.
Yes.
And you almost have a 0% chance of ever being shot by a police officer if you obey the law. Like 200 or 300 million Americans do every day.
Yes. And there's over 100 million police interactions.
Right.
Every single year.
Right.
But it's 3 million that are arrests or
right.
strenuous situations. Right.
Right.
So 3 million, Washington Post says, there were 15 unarmed black men. I take challenge that number,
okay,
actually.
Okay, well, here.
Because that number is really deceiving.
Well,
but even if you take the number.
Right, and that's not 15 innocent unarmed black men.
No, some of them had
right?
cars.
Right.
Like, they're trying to run over the
right.
police officer.
Or they were just freaking out on meth or whatever.
Or they said they had a weapon
right.
or whatever.
Those 15 confrontations are military confrontations.
Yeah, and so out of the 15, I've gone all through of them, every one of them. And I said, and so about four of them are currently under some form of indictment.
Right.
Out of the four, I think three will probably end up going to prison, two for manslaughter, one for legitimate murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's just take my analysis. Three out of 15. Okay. Three out of 3 million.
Right.
My goodness.
Well, hold on. You make this point on CNN on a panel, and what you're saying to liberals is it's okay. No, I'm not saying it's okay. What I'm telling you
is
it doesn't happen the way you say
it
happens.
Well, but also they say, you know, we have to look at systemic. Well, in order to be systemic,
right.
you have to look at the totality of the data set, though. I mean, the definition of systemic is that it's in every part
right.
of our living and breathing organism
Where's
of government.
Where's the systemic racism to Asians?
Well, actually, there is systemic racism against Asians. It's called affirmative action.
Right.
At
right.
Harvard.
That's exactly right.
So,
no, but that's everything that started out to be something turned onto something
else. But they view racism not as someone who thinks differently because of a skin color. They think it's a power struggle.
Well, the definition of racism, right, is
but they don't believe in that. They
right.
don't believe in that definition.
Right. That's inherent
they think it's
belief
a power
that another
struggle.
Race is physically and more and mentally inferior to you. It's the Germans and the Nazis, the Nazis
yes.
and the Jews.
But what they think of racism is someone using power to oppress
right.
another group, oppressor and oppressed. And they just race it in a racial way, put race on that, say, oh, all white people must be oppressing
right.
all black people.
Right.
Like, really?
Yeah,
that takes a
well. Now
incredible
we're
racist. To
I mean,
say that.
You're an anti-Semite, right? According to the left.
Well, I no, I'm not. But,
right. That's what
yeah.
I'm. But I'm saying that how stupid is that? Sebastian Gorka, he's anti-Semitic.
Even
I mean, like
he's literally doing a trip to Israel in
like,
December.
But see, we get onto their playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about your anti-Semitism, which doesn't exist, by the way. But that's the topic of conversation.
How do you best confront this? And I mean, because you've experienced a lot of the backlash.
Yeah.
A lot of the public, you know, just
I try to do it the way you guys do it,
mm-hmm.
which is, okay, let's talk, right? I'm a Christian, and it's very challenging for me to maintain my temper now because we've gone so far past the point of no return. Yeah. But, okay, on Facebook and social media, tell me what your systemic racism is. And it's some broad general response that has nothing to do with anything. And I come back with, okay, here's the facts. The data for police confrontations with young men, are these. Then there's some, well, you're an effing this and that and that. I mean, they go right to the
right
lame
to the,
calling.
The pejoratives.
And,
yeah.
And so.
Instantaneously.
Right. So I know immediately I've won. So there's no really no reason to continue the conversation. Mm-hmm. That's why I said I've wanted to be a part of this organization, TPUSA, for so long because I want to be in front of people. Because here's what I believe, and I think this is very true, Charlie. If you sit in a room of smart people and you say smart things, they may not convert. Ever, but they're not dumb enough to not think about it when they leave.
That's right.
And that's all I want them to do. I'm not going to make a liberal vote for Trump tomorrow. But if I explain to them, hey, listen, here's the facts. And like I said, everything I say or I try to say, I want people to go look it up. Number one, because that you have to work to find news anyway. But number two, because then you're going, at 55 years old, someone's going, wait a minute. Because my response is, how the hell can you be 50 years old and be that stupid?
Yeah. So you said you're a speed reader.
Yeah.
You read the Epstein documents.
Yeah.
So be our reporter. Tell
how
us
is that
what's
not?
In it. Tell
how
us.
Is that not? So this is a young lady.
This is going to be seen by millions of people.
It's out there.
Tell us.
Okay. So it's a she was 15 at the time.
Who is this young woman?
This is a young lady who was brought into the Giselle recruited her at Mar-a-Lago.
Is this Giffords or Giffords or?
Yeah, she's married. She's lives in Australia.
Okay.
All right. She was 15 at the time. Worked at Mar-a-Lago. Her dad was a maintenance worker, and she was just starting out, like doing odd jobs. Giselle saw her.
Ghislaine. 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 Yeah. We probably should get it right.
Epstein's mistress saw her.
One of them.
Yeah, and said, "Hey, listen, you know, she was very interested in becoming a masseuse. She said, I got a guy that you know we can set you up and help you further your career as a masseuse." Da 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 da. She's like, "Yeah, okay, cool." She goes in and said describes the first time she massaged him at the manor was an hour of chit-chat. Giselle was in the room, or Ghislaine, whatever. She was in the room and talking to her, and they were asking her questions. She said, that, you know, did they know how old you were? And she said, well, they asked questions. They got around to they knew. I told them they knew. And then after an hour, he rolled over, and she asked me to continue massaging and told me to do these different things. She was from a broken home. She was sexually abused as a young lady. And this was, she was scared and all this other stuff. So she did what she said. She said, Ghislaine got naked and joined in. And
this is in these documents.
Right. Oh, no. She describes it. It ended. He gave her $200 for the massage. And she's obviously a very beautiful woman. I don't know what she looks like, but she said that it started then. She traveled all over the world with him. He would fly her. He flies her to serve a politician in California. And he pays her, you know, she would fly private with them and they would be on the plane with other girls and Bill Clinton. She names Clinton. I saw him and these were his two girls. And I saw a picture last night that I'm waiting to confirm that might be from like a security camera of him sitting in the room naked with a girl behind him, young girl. But he loved teenage girls. And it's sick, makes you sick to your stomach because he talks about this hot 12-year-old that he got.
Who, Bill or Jeff?
Epstein.
Jeffrey, yeah.
And she said, at that point, I kind of got sick a little bit. But she was with him for years.
So, but everything, but what are in these documents that we didn't know before?
So,
because a lot of that stuff has been out there.
She names, and I forgot the name. She names like five.
Bill Richardson.
Big Hollywood celebrities who were on the plane and were at the island. She goes into detail about Clinton. She said, well, Epstein told her that Clinton owed her. She said he owes me so, like he owes me a favor, like he was bragging about whatever.
Epstein, yeah.
Yeah. Clinton owes me a favor. That's, you know, why that's why he's here, whatever. And then she said she was too scared to reveal a couple of the other names. Oh, she confirmed Prince Andrew. Like, yeah, oh yeah, he was absolutely. But the people that were, it was just after the FBI got to her. This was another law enforcement agency. I'm not sure who it was. but she said...
I think this was a civil suit document, yes, though, wasn't it? She, yes, was suing Ghislaine, yep, which is why all this stuff came out.
She wanted no part of this. She wanted out. And yeah, then when this all happened, I guess the FBI reached out to her, and this was like 6 years after. She's like, I'm married, I have kids, I don't want any part of this anymore. And a bunch of girls had given her name, I guess. So she said that she didn't want to do it. And then 2 days after that, Epstein's lawyer calls her and says, Jeff said, if you keep your mouth shut, we'll take care of you. Next day, Jeffrey Epstein calls her and says, listen, if you keep your mouth shut, I'll take care of you. And she didn't keep her mouth shut. And she ended up going, he sent her on a job and into, I can't remember, it was an Asian country. She went to this guy's place. She didn't do it. And she ended up meeting her future husband there. She escaped and went to Australia and hid. Got married, has kids, got her life back. But she's ready now. Like, she's at that point where, you're not getting away with this.
Alan Dershowitz, I think...
He was in the document as well.
He's been trying to discredit her.
Well, it's kind of scary how
casual... Is this the same woman or... Okay.
This is one of the women. I don't know. No, because she talked about how...
There's all these different accusers.
She talked about how Dershowitz had tried to destroy the lives of a couple of girls that had already named him. And she said he absolutely was one of, like, my people. And so it's like... Because they started running down names. She's like, yes. And it was just... It's 25, 30 pages, and it's horribly riveting, but it's also, I always said in sports, when you read a sports story about a team and a player, 10% of the truth is in the story. The 90% never comes out. I totally believe this. You have 30,000 potential indictments in Germany for this pedophilia, sexual, human trafficking ring coming out. There's no way it doesn't go national or international. This thing here, my God, I can't. Well, it makes sense. It makes everything make sense. Why are these people not in jail? Why is Hillary not in jail? Why is Eric Holder not in jail? And my belief is because this is the largest and flimsiest house of cards in existence. It's I go, you go, and you know, I mean. I just want the first one. I want this
mutual assured destruction.
Yes. You got to believe that Hillary has. Speaking of Hillary, let me ask you something. How old are you?
26.
Okay. You graduated high school when?
2012.
Okay. In high school, to this day in your life, how many people that are in your circle, you know, you've worked with, you've been around, have been murdered?
Wow. Very few. Suicide? A couple?
Right.
Very few.
Right. Less than two or three? Right, okay.
Not even.
Same.
I think like maybe one.
I'm 53 years old.
I can't even think of one.
I can't think of anybody. I'm sure there's one or two. I know some suicides. But there are 54 people associated with the Clintons who have died. At some point past like four, don't you start going, hey, wait a minute, 54? Like, come on. Okay, now, but they get it to the point where it just becomes laughable, and it's like, that can't be true. But this is why they have to have him out. He's not a politician. This guy's a pragmatist. He's a problem solver. He's not funny. I've known him since 2006. I love him to death. I know he has a...
You mean Trump or who?
Yes, okay. President Trump. He has a heart of gold. There's no doubt in my mind. He's an amazing... He's not funny, and there's nothing worse than a guy who thinks he's funny not being funny. But you know what? It's what endears him to a lot of people. I wish he would stop telling people how awesome he is, because you and I know. Like, you don't have to tell me. I'm watching. I'm watching the wall get built. I'm watching you sign these orders. I'm watching regulations get crushed. All the things you said you would do, you're doing. The media's going to, you're not going to win. Because when you do that, they're just going to call you the narcissist and this and that and this and that. And make our job easier. Make defending you a little bit easier, but don't stop doing what you're doing. He's a pragmatist and a problem solver. And in D.C., that screws everybody with an agenda.
So how do you make sense of all of that? Everything you just talked about?
It's exactly what we thought. In 2015, if you remember before the election, what was the rallying cry on both sides? I want someone that isn't in the mix. I want something from the outside.
Outside of the circuit, right?
I want someone who isn't a politician. Well, this is what it looks like. This is what someone who isn't a politician looks like. He goes in and, oh, look at the turnover in his staff. Well, yeah, that's what successful people do. When you hire somebody to do a job and he sucks at it, you fire him. Obama didn't have any turnover. Doesn't that worry you? Like, you have turnover because people, you know, John Bolton and wasn't the person he thought of. And that's the thing. He made all these comments. I remember before the election thinking, and I've always thought this, okay, for people that are going in for the first time, you have no idea what being the president is like. So stop saying things like, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, because that's just not how it works. And I think when he got on the other side, he realized, okay, I can't do everything I want the way I want, so I need to surround myself with people. He's a guy who looks for an opinion that differs from him. He likes to argue. He likes to debate. I remember, and I can't, it kills me, I can't remember, he was interviewing a general, a four-star, before his presidency. But it might have been Flynn. And the thing I remember about the interview was after the interview, the general came out and said, I've always determined intelligence in people by not the answers of questions that they answer, but the questions yeah. that they ask.
Yeah.
He said, this guy asked some of the brightest, smartest questions ever. And in a sense, I think I'm like him, and he's like sometimes the filter gets plugged up and you just say what you're thinking. And he does that in the media that wants to just chew him up and spit him out.
Yes.
And the fact that the media in my lifetime has turned from writing the story to wanting to be a part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they're pushing the
agenda. Yeah, the spectator sport. So you think he's going to win. You see what's happening culturally. You see what's happening to the country. And so just more broadly, you've sacrificed a lot to speak the truth. Can you talk to some of our younger listeners about that?
So I'm very excited about tomorrow, by the way. I can't wait to talk.
For people that don't know, he's speaking to 200 kids.
Yes. This is the most challenged generation of my lifetime.
What do you mean by that?
Not even close second. To go through the education system and to literally create a TPUSA chapter on your campus.
Forget it.
When every fiber and every human being on that campus outside of the conservatives is saying, is going to violently, physically violently stop you. I don't know, I would like to think, but I don't think I had the guts to be that person at 21. I want to give them assurances that, same thing I tell police officers, there are far more of us than there are of them, you just don't hear us. And if you're going to get on this bike and ride this path, just know you're going to get some flat tires and you're going to wreck. And mm-hmm. You've seen it. Look at the... yours is great. When you do the sit downs and you say, prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And people just start calling you names at eventually 5 minutes in because they know you're, and it kills them. These kids need to be armed and with information because that is the battle, right? I mean, we've learned yesterday that it's everything we thought it was. Google, all of the channels are literally silencing, which they should be in. But the government's not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. Congress is a weak. They're not going to do anything. You have to go out and find out the information yourself. Be able to reply to anything that is brought up against you, but be ready. My dad also always told me, if standing up for something isn't painful, you're not standing up for anything. They are being handed a dumpster fire.
Yes.
And God bless every one of them for not backing down. That's an age when, my God, think about college. I went to junior college for a year, but I know how important my friends' opinions and people that I went to school with. I didn't want to be a pariah or an outcast, but at the same time, I never cared. I didn't care what other people thought of me because I knew who I was. I made mistakes. I did stupid things. I said stupid things and all that stuff. But these kids are, and they're kids, but they're being asked to be adults
mm-hmm.
and informed adults. The Michael Knowles speech where the professor said that speech was violence. And the things that you're seeing, what was it last night? There was a teacher that came out last night and said that a female professor who said, I want to say it was at Yale, but I'm not sure. Any other professor in the school that supports the police, I basically dox them, get them fired.
Auburn University.
Yes.
Yeah, he's on our professor right. watch list.
And so I go.
We have a whole watch list of this.
And you should. But I go back to, there was a thing a couple months ago. I was watching Jordan Peterson.
The best.
I'm a fanboy. like beyond
12 Rules for Life.
Oh my
Maps
God!
For meaning, yeah.
But he was talking about the fact that he does these things because he believes he's good at what he does, and he wants the world to hear him. Isn't that what any good? You look at all the great philosophers and all the great teachers. They put their stuff out there for the world to hear because it made the world a better place or it made better people. You have professors, many in schools in the West, who have the sign outside the door. No recording.
That's such a good point.
No taping. If you're teaching the younger generation how to be grown-up adult people, wouldn't you want your word spread far and wide?
That's right. They say, well, I don't want to be taken out of context.
Right. No, but that's, we know that's that, well.
Yes. So then what I respond is, if someone takes you out of context, then respond and say, actually, I have the full tape, and now you look like an idiot. And then it blunts it.
Every time. Every single time. And it gets.
They really have no wisdom to share.
No. They're hate. This is the, you remember, I thought it was all, you know, Bonhoeffer in the 60s and all of this stuff, yeah, Bill Ayers.
He was amazing. Well, no, you mean Bernadine Dorn.
Yeah, but all of that push
Bonhoffer was back in.
Yeah. To get radical professors.
Yes.
To get radical education. We're here. I posted a thing on YouTube or on Twitter the other day. 1976, former Russian KGB.
Yuri Bezmenov.
Unbelievable. Listen. He basically told the world
what was about to happen.
What 2020 was going to be.
Yeah.
And it is.
And then he shared notes with Orwell and
yes.
Here we are.
Yes. And that's terrifying. Again, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
I'm a Christian. The only comfort I have is I know how the ninth inning plays out.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
I was going to ask about that. How do you make sense of all this chaos? How do you, meaning like, how do you have a peace about you with the deteriorating world around
you? I just said, I know how the game ends.
Yes.
So I'm okay with that. But
I feel the same way. If I wasn't a Christian, I would be in a basket case.
I would be a bitter, miserable liberal.
I'd be bitter, miserable, and arrogant.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is
selfish.
It's the worst combination.
It's ridiculous. But I make sense of it because we're born as sinners.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest example I can use is if you take a newborn black child and a newborn white child and you raise them alone in a room together, they'll never have any concept of racism.
That's correct.
We are a flawed species in ways that I don't think even God was thinking we'd go. But I always say when people ask me this, you know, because one of the liberal things is, well, if there was a God, or atheist is, if there was a God, there wouldn't be a picture of a woman holding her dead child in Africa because he died of dehydration. I said, no. We have the ability to feed, clothe, and house every living human being on the planet. We choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
And you look no farther than the Hollywood sign. On one side of the hill, you have people that we're finding out are horrible. Like Ellen, this whole Ellen DeGeneres thing is just mind-boggling. It's crushing to me, too, because I thought she was a really nice person. But on the other
side, I've heard about that for years. And it's like,
that blows me away. That's the best acting job I've ever seen. On the other side of the hill,
she should
the
dance.
Biggest more. Homeless problem in the country.
That's right. Yeah.
So these people, and it's the whole, you know what? I tell young leaders, don't ever ask people to do something you won't do yourself. What's to stop all these socialist wannabes from going out to Utah, starting their own community, and sharing everything? Nothing. They don't want to do that. They want to do it with your money.
That's right.
And your time.
What's amazing is that in a market economy, you can actually live as a socialist, and the Amish do it,
yep.
Right? We don't get in their way.
Yep.
They self-affiliate. They have their own common law, their own structure. I mean, if they can't obviously break any of our federal laws, but
I know you saw the joke, COVID joke, right?
No.
Why Amish man was asked why the Amish didn't have COVID.
Why is that?
They don't have TV.
That's very funny.
Like that's, I mean, it's unbelievable. And yeah, that's the community. I lived in Pennsylvania for 10 years.
Pennsylvania Dutch country.
And the Amish stonemasons built our a bunch of stuff that on our first house.
I think the Amish are going to get Trump reelected too.
Oh, absolutely.
They came out in huge numbers. All the Amish came out in big, big time.
So the question I always ask, who voted for Trump in 2016 that won't vote for him in 2020?
Some suburban women.
Yes, absolutely.
So we agree.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The question is that offset by new converts and a bigger
base?
And
all I do is I look at Blexit. Mm-hmm. I look at all the other exit programs, and I see on Facebook, I don't see the ratio for me is like 100 to 1. Yeah. I see 100 people saying, wow, this is not the Democratic Party.
Yeah,
and it's not.
I think that's wise. I think that there is some attrition on suburban women. Because there are some suburban women that said, I can't stand Hillary. Let's just do this Trump thing.
And right.
I think, though, it's going to be minimized. Because if you think about it, I said, hold on a second. The Billy Bush thing, if that...
Right.
If people still suck that up, I think they could suck it. Right. I think they're going to suck it up even more.
Well,
that's
because those people before COVID hit, their 401ks were way better.
Yeah, we got to get those people back. I think we will.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes, we have to get Republicans in Republican places. We have those rhinos that are absolutely crushing me. And here's the other piece to this. I love Jim Jordan. I love Matt Gaetz. I love Scalise, all of them. I'm tired of watching them complain to me on Twitter. We elected you to do something. Stop complaining to me and go do something. If we don't find and hold some people accountable for what happened 4 years ago and what happened in the Clinton administration, then that double standard.
Senator Lindsey Graham, friend of mine, I know him, and he watches this sometimes, and I've asked him to come on the show. He hasn't recently. Why has he not subpoenaed all these Democrat criminals? He has the power to do that. He could host a Senate Judiciary Committee, and guess what? Because of all the new restrictions because of the Chinese virus, he could do it remotely. He could have everyone doing it as a Skype call from their home. He could subpoena every one of these people. He could subpoena Hillary Clinton. He could subpoena every one of these people that did damage to our country. Peter Strzok Smirk.
And here's the thing.
Lisa Page.
It's treason. It's treason. It's not what they did. And it's the saying that has come about is, if you want to know what the left is doing, look at what they're complaining about us doing. They're everything that they purport to hate. And one of the things that I'll tell these kids tomorrow, and I've done it at a couple colleges I've spoken with, is the world isn't as complicated as the left would have you believe it is, number one. And number two,
that's a good point.
If you want to know the answer to any question around a politician, it's the easiest thing in the world. All you have to do is ask one question. Why? Why did Hillary Clinton delete 33,000 emails?
She had something to hide.
Why did Hillary Clinton have her staff smash their phones?
She had something to hide.
It's simple, and you know that. And so, but if you don't hunt for the information nowadays, you can't find this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? The whys go on and on, and they answer pretty much every question. Why is Dianne Feinstein now telling us that China's a reform?
Was that unbelievable?
No, but I mean, that's the insane. That's just as insane as saying that a non-citizen can vote. Like, the stuff is coming out of their mouth. Isn't the real world? China is one of the most oppressive countries in the history of the world, not just now. But the NBA is now having jerseys made with these oppression and all this other by slaves. Like, come on. You don't see the irony there?
That's a good point. You have slaves telling.
Right.
On the back of the...
They're writing, I'm oppressed on LeBron James's jersey.
Yeah.
No, and sending, like...
They're writing, you know, America's awful.
Well, and the thing is, you listen to Laura Ingraham tell him, just shut up and dribble, and she gets vilified for that. I don't care, you know, people say, oh, I want my sports and my politics to be separate. Well, you want them to be separate when the sports guy doesn't agree with what you think. That's what happens. But the fact of the matter is, he has a platform, and to be uninformed and ignorant on that platform is a crime.
You mean LeBron?
Yeah.
He's the worst.
It's a crime. And he could do...
And you know what? Michael Jordan always stayed away from politics.
Right.
Because he's like, that really my thing?
And I don't really know. I don't really want to speak.
I don't really care that much. He's like, I'm fine. By the way, I'm a huge Jordan fan. He's done BLM stuff. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. I actually don't mind that much because Jordan is such a hero in my books. Like, whatever. He reinvented the sport. And he was awesome. And he was pressured to become a Democrat activist in the 90s in a Senate race in North Carolina. And he's like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
But... he always was just, I'm going to focus on my trade. Tiger Woods.
That's why they were so good.
But that's why the Bulls won six championships.
Right. I mean,
they never lost an NBA final.
But, it's also, I think, a lot of the reasons why really good athletes can't get. I was consumed by the sport when I played it. I didn't have the ability. I didn't feel like I ever had the ability to just coast. So every waking minute was spent focused and dedicated.
Watching film. Training, healing, everything.
Before I go, I know I'm running you probably over time because I'm just blabbing.
We got a couple minutes.
There's a website. I don't know. I'm sure you've seen it, but I want people to go check it out. It's called fakehatecrimes.org.
What's on it?
Fake hate crimes.
Well, there you go.
Literally.
That's good branding.
Pages of pages and hundreds.
Really?
And somebody's documenting all of these fake hate crimes. And I would tell anybody listening that goes to the website, get a piece of paper and just note the similarities in the hundreds and hundreds of hate crimes. Who the victim is and who the assaulter is.
Fakehatecrimes.org.
Fakehatecrimes.org. And it is mind-boggling that, well, you don't hear about them. The media stopped reporting on them. And those things are every bit, I would say hate crimes are to race relations what bad cops are to the police force. They're so destructive. I mean, when was the last time the KKK mattered in this country?
Yeah, but the only reason is the Democrats are trying to keep a fake thing alive.
Right. Oh, no, but that's it, right? They have to have the boogeyman.
Well, any other thoughts, Kurt, before we adjourn?
You know what? Again, I know I probably took up way more.
No, you're great.
I listen. I'm a fan.
Thank you.
And like I said, I am so proud of you for taking the stand and keeping it. And I posted a picture of Candace when she was in Philadelphia and she was spit on. And I posted the picture of her and the picture of the young black woman walking to
from
school.
The Little Rock 9, yep.
Yep. And I said, what's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Black women being attacked for their beliefs.
Democrats are still who they were 4 years ago.
That's right. They are bitter racists.
Yes.
Yes.
And they've always been.
Yeah.
And the big switch, by the way, guys, never happened.
Big lie.
Three people.
Yeah. Well, not even. Strom, there was only one in the Senate, two in the House, yeah.
And
Strom Thurmond actually changed his beliefs legitimately.
Away.
Yeah.
Blown away when I read it, because, you know, the whole thing is, oh, Goldwater in Arizona. Goldwater was a racist because he voted against the bill because he did not want the federal government to have more power.
Yeah, and people don't, and you can go look it up. There was huge Blacks for Goldwater coalitions,
yes,
all across,
yes,
the country. Huge.
And he was very clear about it. I don't want this bill to pass because it just like, and then they said McCain voted against a bill to help veterans. No, he didn't vote against that.
Because of Trump.
He voted against all the pork that they put on the bill, which is what happens all the time.
Yeah. So. Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Yep. Take care.
Thanks. What a great conversation that was with Kurt Schilling. If you guys want to win a signed copy of the New York Times bestseller, MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. Screenshot it and email us freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com, and email us freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. God bless.